May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts ever be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Lesson that we hear today from John's Gospel is the end of a very long passage. Now, some of us are of an age, it's not very popular to do anymore, but of an age when certain editions of the Bible contained what they called the red letter editions. You may have seen them, where all of the words of Jesus are printed in red. And so, this passage would be in red, but so would page upon page upon page just before it. For in John's Gospel, this is the ending of what is called by scholars Jesus' high priestly prayer. This prayer is the high priestly prayer because this is being prayed just before Jesus goes to the cross, before he goes to his death. A context then of this prayer is Jesus sitting with his closest associates, his first disciples, at the Last Supper. So on this seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after the Ascension, we're journeying back in our mind's presence back all the way to the Last Supper. And I think that's instructive for us. It's important for us to see that, because then when we realize this is the very end, it probably is the summary of what everything Jesus wanted to say in the long prayer that preceded it. And in fact, if we go back and study it in any detail, we see that the major themes that are being exposed in this very relatively short passage are really quite lengthy in Jesus' words in that red letter edition as they sat at that last meal. So, what really is going on here? Well, in this passage, Jesus prays for two things. He prays for unity, and he prays for love. So consequently, with what I just said, I think those two words summarize everything that Jesus prayed in this high priestly prayer, with page on page and page. You can distill it down to two words: unity and love. Now the problem is, when we distill things down to just a couple of words, we pack a lot in there. And so maybe now we got to go from the other side of hearing this lesson and unpack them again for ourselves. Jesus prays for unity. He prays that the disciples would be one with one another in the same way that Jesus is one with the Father. What does that mean? Well, you've heard me talk about before St. Augustine's famous phrase when he says, our life with God is ultimately cor ad cor loquitur, heart speaking unto heart. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because when we are friends and when we love one another, we open our hearts to one another. And in opening our hearts to one another, we become more and more familiar and more vulnerable to each other. And that is the way, ultimately, that we express love. But I think there's even a deeper way of thinking of that. And I'd like to go back a little bit and tell you a story. Again, I'm here long now, you're starting to hear my stories over and over again, that in fact, there was a time when I was a teenager that I was in the grocery line with my mother in the store. You know, I grew up in this little canal town up on the Erie Canal in western New York, Albion, and they only ever had 5,000 people in it. It seems that it never changes. As people leave, other people come in, and it's always 5,000 people. But even in that small little town, we had a little ghetto. And that ghetto was populated by Polish people. Me being one of them. Now, I was probably the third or fourth generation that lived in that little area. We even had our own church, our own school. But we had these little old ladies that had been there for years and years, probably much longer than I could imagine at that time. We called them Bobby. That's sort of a slang term in Polish, everyday Polish, to talk about somebody who's sort of a grandmotherly figure. Somebody who's older, who's wiser, has been around for a while. And one of these ladies came over to talk to my mom as we were in the grocery line at the store. And she looked at me and she says, "Oh, your son, your boy," it's all in Polish now, "it looks just like David, his father." Not only did we have the same first name, now they're saying, "I look just like him." Now, I didn't take that as much of a compliment, because my dad, although a fairly handsome man, several years older than I was at that point in time, and I thought, well, she's telling me that I look like he does now. That's not what she meant at all. My mom knew exactly what she meant, and she agreed, and they chatted for a little while, sort of out of ear range. I know some Polish, but not enough to know what they were talking about all the time. Well, anyway, I began to understand what they were talking about only a few years later. When my dad was going through his things and sorting things, and he gave me a pile of photographs, and I went looking through them. You know, they're older generations, pictures, people I don't know whose name they are, and I never will now because my parents are gone from this earth. But some that were explained to me, and one I saw, it's only about 2 inches square, a tiny little thing. And I saw there, and I realized on the back it said David, and it was in some Pacific island someplace. It wasn't me, obviously, it was my dad. And he was in a Navy uniform because he was in the Navy during the Second World War. And then I looked at it carefully, and I realized I was looking at me. My dad was about 17 at the time this picture was taken, and the story I'm telling you now happened around that same age for me. And I realized now what that wonderful lady meant. She said, "He looks just like his father." We have a phrase for that. Always a chip off the old block. Heard that before. A lot of times that happens in families. Actually, most people think that that's true. The same hairline, the same jawline, all that kind of stuff is all there. But more importantly, it gives us an insight into what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the Father and I are one. That the characteristics, the ideas, the manner of life, the kind of way of acting and speaking that Jesus had made him a chip off the old block. He was the exact image of our Father in heaven. Now, see, to that point, God was sort of this ineffable spiritual reality that lived in a very, very far away place. In fact, the only locality where we could locate the presence of God in the time of Jesus was in the temple at Jerusalem. And even then, not in the whole temple, just in this very reserved small area called the Holy of Holies. And it was so holy that only the chief priest could go in, and only at certain times during the year. So God was not accessible to everybody. The high priest went in and he prayed for the people. And then he came out and he brought messages for the people from God. But you see, God didn't seem close. He was a very far away reality. But Jesus reminds us, even in today's lesson, that this is the very reason he came. Because he was such a chip off the old block, he came so that we would begin to understand God. Because Jesus became one of us, flesh and blood, so that he could speak, in a sense, our language. That the humanness of Jesus speaks to the humanness of us. Jesus' heart speaks to our heart. And so it is when we see Jesus, like that wonderful lady saw my Father in me, when we see Jesus, we see God. We see God. There's another time that came home to me, that very thing. You've also heard this story, I'm sure, where somebody told me a very funny joke one time, and I gave out this big, big belly laugh, and about halfway through it, I was listening to myself, and I stopped, because all of a sudden, I sounded just like my Father. And it all came back again. All came back again. So that when we see Jesus, we see God. When we see Jesus act, when he heals and reconciles and brings compassion and peace to people, we see God acting in that way. When we read the red letters in that red letter edition and we hear the words of Jesus, we are hearing the very voice of God, not from some faraway place, but right here, right now, among us. And the message that Jesus came to bring was primarily that God loves us. God loves us so much that he would give up his own son to ransom us and to bring us into a deeper relationship with him. That Jesus' mission was clear. Yes, speak to the people about me. Tell them what I am and who I am and how I act and how I love. And that is what Jesus did. So that when Jesus prays this prayer just before he's about to die, he's saying to his disciples that you should be one as I and the Father are one. In other words, you should be chips off the old block. You can't find, can't see, can't know God the Father, but you know me. You see me. You hear me. You watch me. Now do the same. Conform yourselves to that same spirit so that when other people see you, they see Jesus. When that little old Bobby saw me, she saw my dad. When people see you, they should see the very presence of Jesus, our risen Lord. And if we understand that properly in that same way, when people see you, they see God. They see God. When you love the way that Jesus loved, when you act the way that Jesus acted, when you speak the words that Jesus spoke, in the manner in which Jesus spoke them, people will see God. That is our high calling. That is our mission in the world. To bring the very life of God to a world that is waiting, a world that desires it, a world that is chasing it. And we possess it. For we are made in God's image, and the whole purpose that Jesus came to show us is what that image really is. And that we learn how to be that image when we learn how to love and how to love deeply. That is why we are gathered here. So that here, in this place, in this time, each time we see one another and hear the Word of God and celebrate the Eucharist and do the things we do as a community of faith, that our hearts begin to speak to one another's hearts. And as each of us has their heart in Jesus' heart, we become caught up in the great mystery of Christ's everlasting life. For God speaks heart unto heart, and he bids us to do the same. To open ourselves to one another. To make ourselves vulnerable to one another. And in turn to help and heal and reconcile one another. This is the work of Jesus. And if the world wants to see Jesus, it should be that all they need to do is look at us. Wow. Are we chips off the old block? Do we live in such a way that our hearts are speaking one to another? And as each of us prays and God speaks to us individually, we begin to hear God speak to all of us all at once. It is in that coming together, in that sharing of life and of love, that Jesus lives, that Jesus is made known, that the world can see God. And so, my friends, that little ditty, oh, those of us of a certain age, again, we've heard it, you know, it's guitar kind of music when that was all coming into church. They'll know we are Christians by our love. That's what that song is about. Not about the sentimentality of being nice to each other. We are not people who succumb to the tyranny of nice. No, it's not about being nice. It's about genuinely loving. It's about doing the hard thing when the hard thing is required. It is about correcting one another. It is about reconciling one another. It is about forgiving one another. It is about loving one another, giving one another the life Christ has given to us. If we do that, seemingly simple, then others will know. If they seek the face of God, they need to look no farther than your face. For you are the very image of the living God. And by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, we are given the confidence and the wisdom and the courage that we need to accomplish the mission that God has called us to accomplish. We are Christ. We are Christ's body. We are the presence of Jesus in our world. So if someone says to you, "Show me God," be courageous enough to say, "Look at me." Oh, that's not to put us on a pedestal. That's not what we're talking about at all. Because we only have the courage to say that, the chutzpah, as it's said, if we know we truly love God, and that we love one another. For all of the red letters in that passage of Scripture in John's Gospel, except for this particular lesson, which it's reiterated here, there is but one command that Jesus gives his disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. If we do that, people will see us, and they will see the face of God.